May we help to commence our worship of God this evening by singing hymn 1036 to the June Holly 348. Seek ye my face, the Saviour cries, my soul, where canst thou find supplies but in the Lamb? For sinner slain, who has not shed his blood in vain. Art thou afflicted, sore distressed, embarrassed, and by sin, by guilt oppressed, anxious to know thy sins forgiven, and find an open way to heaven? Thou shalt obtain the blessing yet, that Jesus will not thy cries forget. Wait on the Lord, take courage still, his promise surely he'll fulfill. Hymn 1036.
Thank you. Let us turn for our reading to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 30. The prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 30. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. And these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, We have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. But they shall serve the Lord their God, and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. Therefore fear thou not, O my servant Jacob, saith the Lord. Neither be dismayed, O Israel, for lo, I will save thee from afar, and thy seed from the land of their captivity. And Jacob shall return, and shall be in rest, and be quiet, and none shall make him afraid. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee. Though I make a full end of all nations whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and will not leave thee altogether unpunished. For thus saith the Lord, thy bruise is incurable, and thy wound is grievous. There is none to plead thy cause, that thou mayest be bound up. Thou hast no healing medicines. All thy lovers have forgotten thee, they seek thee not. For I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy, with the chastisement of a cruel one, for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. Why criest thou for thine affliction? Thy sorrow is incurable for the multitude of thine iniquity, because thy sins were increased. I have done these things unto thee. Therefore all they that devour thee shall be devoured, and all thine adversaries, every one of them, shall go into captivity. And they that spoil thee shall be a spoil, and all that prey upon thee will I give for a prey. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they called thee an outcast, saying, This is Zion, whom no man seeketh after. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwelling places. And the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. And out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. And I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them, and I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engaged his heart to approach unto me, saith the Lord? And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Behold, the whirlwind of the Lord goeth forth with fury, a continuing whirlwind. It shall fall with pain upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord shall not return until he have done it, and until he have performed the intents of his heart. In the latter days ye shall consider it. The Lord bless the reading of his word and help us to pray. O thou great, almighty, merciful God, all we come before thee again in the attitude of worship, and now, O Lord, in prayer. And we do seek thy blessing to be with us. Pray we may be granted even now a little access to thee, O God of heaven, and that we may come, Lord, this night into thy presence through the merits of Christ as we plead his mediation. That's all we can do as wretched sinners, and thankful we would be that there still is room before the throne of grace. And we give thanks, O Lord, for the mercy seat. We give thanks for that one offering of Christ forever. We give thanks for the atonement for sin. And we do plead it now as sinners before thee. And pray, Lord, that we may know this night every blessing and every favour that flows to us through Jesus' blood. Lord, do thou this night, we pray thee, through thine own name, open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing. May sinners hear, know and hear thy voice. May we be encouraged and helped in our souls. May there be those real gospel blessings. May we receive those gospel truths, even the truth as it is in Jesus. O Lord, who grant, we pray, that our hearts may be opened to receive that engrafted word with meekness, that word which is able to save our souls, to build us up and to give us an inheritance amongst all those that are sanctified. Lord, we do then pray thy blessing on thy own word. Thou hast said it shall not return to thee void, but that it shall accomplish that which thou dost please, and that it shall prosper in the thing whereto thou dost send it. Pray that that great blessing may be ours, that thou wilt send it to us, and that thy word may live and abide in us. O Lord, that thou wilt abide in us. And as thou hast said, Lord Jesus, abide in me and let my word abide in you. Oh, may we know that favour, we pray. For Lord, we would especially be found, O Lord, as we are found in the house of God. We would be found, O Lord, receiving thy word, but thou knowest we have a path to walk out. We have a tomorrow, if spared. May we, Lord, know that abiding effect, that abiding in thee. And we do pray that thou hast often by thy Spirit bring to remembrance all those words thou hast spoken unto us. Make them life and power. Bring them to us in the hour of need, in the hour of temptation. Bring them to us in the hour of distress, in the hour of trouble, in the hour of sin. Will cause us to remember those words that thou hast spoken unto us. Be our remembrance, so we pray. O Holy Ghost, we plead what thou canst do and wilt do for thy people. Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, he shall bring all things to our remembrance. O, we do then pray and plead for the gift of thy Spirit. Dwell in us, O Lord, that we may be, Lord, under the influence of thy grace, not, O Lord, carried around and carried away by this world. We may be those who live upon the word and upon the truth as it is in Jesus. Bless us then, we pray thee. Bless us in these hours of worship especially. How true it is, Lord, that thou hast so blessed this day and sanctified it. Thou hast blessed and sanctified above all else by rising from the dead and thy appearances to thy disciples. And Lord, we do esteem this day the best. It is the queen of days. And Lord, a day which thou hast solemnly set apart, may we know the favour that the apostle John knew when he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. May we know a sweet exemption from the powers of hell, we pray. May we know the great favour then to come apart, O Lord, and rest a while. And that, Lord, in knowing this, do great gain strength for the way. Lord, that our wounds may be healed, all the festering sores of sin, and that there may be strength granted in the unknown way. O Lord, we then pray thy blessing on thy day. We thank thee thou hast set apart thy day, and thank thee for all the blessings contained in thy house and thy word of truth. Bless us together, we pray. Oh, do favour thy one church, thy Zion, we ask. Lord, bless thy flock. Bless thy flock who meets in this place. We pray that thy word may be blessed to them and they may be fed. And we do pray, Lord, that thou wilt supply the needs of Zion still. Raise up, we pray, the labourers in thy harvest. We need more labourers. Raise up pastors after thine heart, and enable thy people to cry out to thee for these things, and hear the need of thy people, we pray. Help us to inquire of thee for these things. God Almighty, thou knowest the needs then of the churches. Remember those who have the concern of thy house. Lord, the exercise of the pulpit and the invitation of ministers, and Lord, we pray especially for them that thou hast helped them, Lord, and those concerns that they carry, and we pray thou hast supply the needs that thou seest. Lord, we pray that thou hast dwell amongst us still in the church of God, who make us and keep us faithful to thee. Oh, please make us faithful. May we not be ashamed of thee or of thy word before this generation. Oh Lord, we remember thy word in this. Oh, what solemn words they were. That we be ashamed and thou be ashamed of us. Oh, we do pray that we, Lord, may be amongst those who are not ashamed of thee. So make us true disciples, we pray thee. Help us to take up our cross daily and follow after thee. Save us continually, we pray thee, from all our sins. Lord, we bear before thee then once more the dear friends here. Oh, do bless them. Remember them each one who has gathered here this night in their pathways. Lord, they are known to thee, their temporal path, their spiritual path. Oh, remember them in it, we pray. May there be help for them. Lord, any unable to be here, go to them where they are, the afflicted. We pray that thou strengthen them and help them. Lord, that we bear all before thee from the youngest to the oldest. Bless the little ones and children. Bless them in thy house of prayer. Oh, we could please have a sovereign purpose of mercy towards them. They may not, so Lord, go in the path of destruction. Lord, in thy mercy then we bear them before thee. God Almighty, keep them, save them. Those in the midst of their days, Lord, help them in all burdens. Those in the evening time with the afflictions attendant, help them. Whatever age, Lord, is before thee here, we all need thy mercy. And Lord, we plead for it. Leave us not, we pray, to a form of godliness, any of us. May we know that real salvation, the power of God unto salvation, we pray, real salvation for our souls. Lord, we do then come before thee to seek thy blessing on thy Zion. We also pray for our land and nation. May we pray for it, especially at this time. Much turmoil in the earth and many changes in our own land. We pray that Lord, thou would overrule, and may we pray thou grant wisdom, Lord, to those who rule over us, and do thou rule over them, that there may be good come upon this land. May thy remnant lead that quiet and peaceful life in all godliness, we pray thee, still. And knowest, O Lord, the forces of evil on every side. They gain ground, O Lord. And thy remnant, O Lord, in the south are small and weak. But, O Lord, we have the God of Jacob for our help. And we call upon thee. For Lord, they cannot go further than thy command. Oh, here shall thy proud waves be stayed. May we prove it in our day. May we see wonderfully in our day that though the force of evil are great, and yet to see thee work wonderfully for us, and overturn at the cry of thy remnant, and do great things for us. Pray that thou wouldst then remember us in this. And Lord, in all the affairs of the earth, get honour and glory to thy name, we pray. We have so much then, O Lord, to thank thee for. And yet we have much to plead also. So remember us as we meet together in thy house this night. We would not forget to pray for the pastor of this people. Uphold him in all his labours here, we pray thee. And that, Lord, help him in all his path. And those who bear office, remember them and help them. And the little church planted in the midst of them. So, Lord, do be with us, we pray, as we would further wait upon thee and pray thy blessing, Lord, upon us in the singing of thy praise, and as we would turn to thy word. O Lord, do come, we pray. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, our pastor will preach here on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day, when the ordinance of the Lord's Supper will be observed during the morning service. And our monthly prayer meeting will be held on Friday evening. The collection taken last Lord's Day amounted to £430, and the donations for the month in the general fund £634.36, in the maintenance fund £445, and in the benevolent fund £215. We desire to thank the friends for their willing giving and to acknowledge the Lord's goodness and mercy in it. May we now be held to continue our worship by singing hymn 711 to the tune Eshtael 332. Amidst the sorrows of the way, Lord Jesus, teach my soul to pray. And let me taste thy special grace, and run to Christ my hiding place. Thou knowest the vileness of my heart, so prone to act the rebel's part. But when thou veil'st thy lovely face, where can I find a hiding place? Lord Jesus, shine, and then I can feel sweetness in salvation's plan, and as a sinner plead for grace through Christ, the sinner's hiding place. Hymn 711.
Lord, save us.
As the Lord is pleased to help us, we would turn again to the prophecy of Jeremiah, chapter 29, and we'll read verses 11 to 14 as our text. Jeremiah 29, verses 11 to 14. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations, and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The Lord here confirms his good will and his kind thought towards his dear people. The Lord had not changed in his purposes, in his faithfulness, in his love towards his people, though he had to chastise them. We sometimes sing that oft he chastised, but ne'er forsook the people that he chose. Therefore he speaks words of great kindness, lest his people should begin to think that he had an evil intent towards them in these years of captivity. He says, I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, it is for this very reason the Lord so raised up his prophets, as we mentioned this morning, and sending them early to warn his people of the judgments to come. And what mercies, what kind words he spoke to a rebellious people continually as he rose up and spoke to them. Why, we have many of those kind words in the third chapter, and how the Lord so speaks to this polluted people to return. Return thou, backsliding Israel, saith the Lord, and I will not cause mine anger to fall upon you, for I am merciful, saith the Lord, and I will not keep anger forever. Turn, O backsliding children, saith the Lord, for I have married unto you, and I will take you one of a city and two of a family, and I will bring you to Zion. Return, ye backsliding children, I will heal your backslidings. You see, all these words were words of great mercy and kindness, because he had thoughts of peace towards them, and that his heart moved over them. God does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. Well, the Lord then, his kind thoughts, Yet, as we mentioned this morning, all the hardness of Israel and Judah's heart in general. Oh, how they had to be reproved for this. And how the Lord, in speaking to them again, had to say, circumcise yourselves to the Lord. Take away the foreskin of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Well, the Lord, I said this morning, had a purpose in bringing them into captivity. He needed to set in order before them their sins, their iniquities. And indeed, as we read in our reading, you see, he had to correct them in measure. And we find it true in the people of God that's spiritual. Oh, how we, when we're brought into these places, how the Lord brings us there, that we might call upon him. Then you shall call upon me. You shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. But this is all of grace. And the child of God will realize this. What a blessing it is to be given a heart to pray. What a blessing. What a new covenant blessing. Indeed, everything flows, you see, from the grace of God. And as we have it in Ezekiel, the Lord speaking something similar indeed to this in chapter 36, when he says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you. From all your filthiness, from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and the blessings that follow. For how we read, then shall ye remember your own evil ways, and loathe yourselves. It's then, you see, with that new heart, that we shall call upon his name. The psalmists say, you see, when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said, thy face will I seek. Oh, what a mercy then if the Lord bring us into this prayerful condition. It makes us real seekers, real seekers. You see, not that half-heartedness. As the sluggard. No, not a double mind. But to bring us to those points where we really need him. And so we, as we read here, seek him and search for him with all our heart. Seek him early. Oh, what a mercy this is. If we are brought to truly seek him. Now the Lord says, you see, let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord. He is merciful to our God, for he shall abundantly pardon. All this spirit then is a wonderful thing. When he is our whole desire, and we would have none else, it's so as we would see Jesus. And like that spouse in the Song of Solomon, oh, how she would seek her beloved and was not content without him. She went in the broad ways, sought him in the streets, wanted to bring him home. Wanted that personal possession of him. And the inquiry, you see, what is thy beloved more than another? What a question that is. If that's really asked by the Lord, to our hearts this evening. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Oh, the spouse had an answer to that, you see, for she could give a good description of her beloved. How she says, my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. And that's a description of himself. His mouth is most sweet, yea, he's altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. But what a question this is to us. What is thy beloved more than another beloved? Does it not remind us of the words of the Lord Jesus to Peter when he went a-fishing? How he said, lovest thou me more than these? Am I uppermost in thy affection, Peter? Dost thou love me? And how, yes, that little love was kindled in his heart. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, Peter was grieved by those words, you see. Three times, you see, lovest thou me, lovest thou me. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, then, you see how Christ would draw forth the true affection in Peter's heart. Yes, and how we will be made likewise by his Spirit to seek him whom our soul loveth. See, there's nothing legal about this. It's seeking Christ, as we sang in our opening hymn. The Saviour says, seek ye my face. Yes, and how our soul then would go after him. It's draw me, and I will run after thee. You see, after he speaks these kind words and in the land of their captivity turns their heart, so ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Oh, what a great mercy then, if he is kindling such an affection in us. The Lord Jesus made it so clear in John 6 that no man cometh unto the Father but by me, and no man can come unto me except my Father draw him. Oh, we need that drawing power of the Father's love that we may really seek Christ. Yes, that we may really come to him and desire him. This is the work of God, you see. And therefore, it can truly be said, a mark of grace, as Peter made clear unto you that believe, he is precious. Yes, not to look so much at the height and depth of our experience, but do you have this vital principle? Is he precious? Is he precious? Do you desire to know him and seek him? There were those Greeks that came up to the feast and inquired of Philip, sirs, we would see Jesus. You see, because their hearts was right. And the Lord had put it in their heart to be an inquirer, or to really seek after him. Oh, thou whom my soul loveth. Yes, says the spouse, tell me where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flocks to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turns aside by the flocks of thy companions? Well, it is seeking then for the Lord's dear people that personal interest in Christ. Though perhaps at this present time you may be in a far off land, You may feel to be an outsider, and your sins have got you there. You're one of those captives, and a lawful captive. You are shut out by the law. The law says that you cannot come. Yes, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And yet the gospel says return. Oh, and we have access by one Spirit, through him, unto the Father. Well, the Lord has made that way. And he will be found. He will be found of poor seekers. Though he may tarry for a season to answer and hear, yet he will be found of you, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Well, it is then the Lord's mercy here, and an encouragement here indeed to all who would seek the Lord, who have been brought to that place of need. We mentioned Jonah this morning. You see how he was brought down into that solemn place where he was deep in the fish's belly, and how we read these words, then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. Then, from the place of his captivity, then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Well, I say, what a mercy to be brought by the Lord to be in need of his deliverance. I mentioned this morning what a mercy it is that we are not left to go on and on in sin. You see, the Lord took his natural mercies away from Saul. He was left to go on, and you know his end, a solemn end. He sought unto the witch of Endor and took his own life. But you see, the Lord promised, the Lord had an everlasting covenant for David. His kindness would not depart from him or from his seed. And indeed, he promised even his son Solomon, yes, that he would not take his mercies from him. And this is the privilege of being a child of God, you see. He says, this is as the waters of Noah unto me. So I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth. So I have sworn that I would no more be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. He says, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, nor the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. This is a wonder of wonders. For we who are by nature no different to the world, we are sinners, and we are inclined to do evil. We find in our very natures, can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? We are in our natures no different. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. And this was God's sovereignty towards Israel of old, nationally, a type of spiritual Israel. You see, he had a special kindness that didn't depart. And so we read those wonderful words, I am with thee, saith the Lord. Though I make a full end of all nations, whither I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. What a wonderful truth. You may be afflicted, full of trouble. Know that time of Jacob's trouble here in this world. Indeed, all our troubles are a fruit of sin. And what can we say? How can we reply? against God? Or is it not the fruit of our sin? Wherefore doth a living man complain? Yes, for this, his sin. Why, the Lord's mercy is the only thing whereby we are not made a full end of. Well, the wonderful truth, yet will I not make a full end of thee. And it's the Lord's kindness. This is then that great sovereign love of God that is further proclaimed in the chapter 31. It appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Indeed, there's many precious truths from this 30th chapter onwards that proclaims the Lord to be very mindful of them, thoughts of peace. And there's everlasting thoughts towards his people. Oh, that we could consider this then, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. How the Lord's thoughts have been towards his people from all eternity. The Lord has had a people in his foreknowledge whom he would and will redeem from all iniquity. The Lord has chosen them, not for any goodness in self, but for his great name's sake. And he has thoughts of peace and not of evil towards them. This is why, O believer, you see so much goodness and mercy from your childhood to this day. It's because of those thoughts of peace. And what a wonderful truth. Was not Solomon himself a child of peace, a son of peace, promised to David? Every one of the Lord's people will be a child of peace. The Lord's peace will be upon them, and they will know it in due time. They will receive it. We who by nature are children of wrath, even as others, will know this covenant of peace made between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost on our behalf. We'll be brought into the knowledge of that peace of God that passeth all understanding. And it's a peace that comes because Christ has made the peace. This man shall be the peace. Christ has made the peace because he has shed his own precious blood to remove the curse of the law, that which broke our peace. He's overcome sin and death and hell. And how his glorious righteousness speaks completely for his church. This is our peace. Oh, it's the righteousness of Christ. The glorious effect of righteousness, you see, is peace, as we read in Isaiah. The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Well, the Lord's people are under a covenant of peace in Christ Jesus. Yes, the Lord, though he chastens them, there is not that vengeance in his anger. It is in measure. As a father, you see, chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth his people. As a father would in love, you see, have to chasten. That is how the Lord deals with his people. But the true wrath of God, yes, has been poured out upon his own son. And he, even Jesus, is our peace. He who was made sin for us, who knew no sin. Well, the Lord's thoughts are thoughts of peace. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. When the Lord then corrects his people, it is that they might know this, his peace, his peace. You see, we need correction to deliver us from every false peace. And indeed, sin begins to gain ground, perhaps. We begin to go off and drift away from God. And the Lord would have us to know his peace, not the false peace of this world, or the false peace of sin. No, it's that real peace, and so he must chastise us with those thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Well, the Lord's dear people then, in all that they pass through, have an expected end. An end and an expectation. He says, I correct thee in measure. What a mercy. You know, the wicked, we read very clearly in Scripture, there's no end of their sorrows. There's no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked, forever and ever. You see, the Lord will pour out his wrath upon them to all eternity. We cannot fathom the deep, deep sorrows of what it is to be lost. And may the Lord grant that solemn awe upon our heart in this, forever and ever. We know what it is to be on a sick bed, perhaps, or an illness. So only maybe for a few days or a few weeks or years at most, but the solemn truth of an eternity of woe. And to know there the full wrath of God poured out upon our sin is a solemn thing. And don't we deserve it? But the Lord gives an end to his people. There's an end to affliction and trouble. There's an end to all these sorrows because Christ is our peace. Also, you see, he says to give you an expected end, an end and an expectation. Why? It is because Christ has made that end. He said to the powers of death and hell, thus far shalt thou come and no further. And here shall thy proud ways be stayed. All that Christ who declared upon the cross, it is finished. And then gave up the ghost, yielded up his soul unto God. And here in those dying words, the whole of our salvation finished. Christ accomplished it. There is an end. An end of sin. Christ has made an end of sin. An everlasting righteousness brought in. There is an end. What a wonderful, wonderful truth. There is an end of sin for the Lord's people. And when sin troubles us, you see, there is an end. There is an end. There is a limit. He says that sin, through his own offering, sin shall not have dominion over you, because you are not under the law but under grace. Oh, there is an end to sin. And it ends with Christ. Oh, then, to thank Christ for all that he has wrought, that there is such an end. And there will be an end. Though we suffer much in this world, and the Lord's people know the affliction throughout this world, there is an end. Oh, the apostle longed for it, when he could be free from that earthly, polluted tabernacle, longed and groaned for the redemption of his body, that polluted thing, that body of death that he groaned in. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But there is an end. How his expectation was not disappointed. Oh, yes, he anticipated the day when he'd be free, set free from that solemn captivity. You see, bound in that body of sin and death. And that day when he would know the redemption of his body, be raised incorruptible, and mortality would put on immortality. Death swallowed up of life. Oh, there is an end and an expectation. Well, this is the truth as we pass through the trials of this world, there is an expectation. The Lord's people would never get through, would they, if they didn't have a hope? But there is a hope set before us in the gospel. Oh, a glorious hope in Jesus. Do you ever give thanks to God for the hope of the gospel? That we can hope in him. Hope in the Lord. In the Lord there is mercy, plenteous redemption. Oh, to hope in him. And indeed, you see, we have the hope in Christ who has gone before us, who has overcome and entered into glory. What an expectation then for his people. To give you an expected end. Well, it's a sure end, isn't it, to the Lord's people? As we speak at this present time of the day of our death and passing from this world, whether it be by death or the second coming of Christ, is a sure end. Is a sure end. There's nothing uncertain there. And the scriptures are very clear, you see. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You see, but those who are found in Christ Jesus, it's life, it's an expected end. Oh, what a mercy then to be granted a little this side of the grave of that sure and certain hope in Christ. The believer might not always in himself but feel sure, but the foundation of God stand is sure. Having this seal, he knoweth them that are his. And therefore it is a sure and certain hope, founded on the oath and promise of God, founded in Christ. And if we truly hope in him, our expectation will not be cut off. There'll be an expected end. Well, it's a sure foundation. It's a sure hope if we are hoping in Christ. Everything else will crumble and give way proved to be a sandy foundation at the last day. But those who hope in Christ and make Christ their refuge, their hiding place, who really seek him with all their heart to give you an expected end. Well, there are then these expected ends in this world. There are trials that we pass through, and seasons of temptation, times of the hiding of God's face, and troubles that steal into our pathway, a darkness that may come upon us like the disciples who feared as they entered into the cloud. A certain affliction comes, and a trouble comes, and we know not where it might end. We can't see the end of it. Indeed, we might try to pry into it, but we don't know what gloomy lines are writ for us, or what bright scenes might rise. We don't know the end. But the Lord does, and for his people, it is an expected end. You see, there are no uncertainties with God. This is why David in Psalm 23 could go to that valley of shadow of death and fear no evil. All because thou art with me. The Lord knew the way. It's an expected end. But we are finite, and we do not see very far. It is God alone who knows the end from the beginning in all matters that come into our lives. Yes, that Lord, the Lord whose way is in the sea, whose path is in deep waters, and we often know not the way. Yet, he knows the way, and it is an expected end. Well, do you stand then and question at times the Lord's dealings? Why this and why that? Do you judge God foolishly? Do you charge him foolishly? And question then why the Lord has got an end in view, whether you see it or not. Yes, he has some purpose, and his purposes will ripen fast. Unfolding every hour, the bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower, an expected end. Oh, then the great mercy of God in this. There's no uncertainties with our God. Yes, and the hard and the difficult and trying things, we will prove that he has thoughts of peace towards us and not of evil. It is hard to trust this, perhaps, in times of great trouble. Times when the Lord may seem to guard against us. But the Lord Jesus says this: in me ye shall have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Do we then find our peace in God? This is often his end, isn't it? That we might find our all in him, and to bring us indeed to that place where we are found that seeking God, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Well, such a heart will be given us if we are the Lord's. Oh, to desire him and hunger and thirst after him and his salvation. And he says, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. The Lord will gather his dear people. He will not leave them to go astray forever and be lost in their sins. And so he says, look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. Oh, then wherever we are found this day, when the Spirit of God works, the gathering of the people will be unto him. And he says, I will be found of you. Oh, to cry unto him then in our affliction. He says, I'll be very gracious unto you at the voice of your cry, as you call upon his name. Now we need this word then. I know the thoughts I think towards you as poor sinners, as we seek to call upon him, that we might realize the mind of the one to whom we come. You see, it is often on our mind as we read in the prophets, how shall I come before the Most High? But oh, to realize that one who fills his Father's throne, who bids us come boldly to a throne of grace. He says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Would he say such things? Would he give such promises if he had thoughts of evil towards you? Will he frown your way from a throne of grace? Why was this not Job's fear as he came before God? You see, as we read in Job 23, will he plead against me with his great power? Will he do this? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. For he says, let us reason together. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Let your sins be as scarlet. They should be as white as snow. Let them be red like crimson. They should be as wool. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. All this is then that one who is touched with the feeling of our infirmities, who can have compassion. You see, those high priests of old had compassion on the ignorant and on those that are out of the way. Oh, Christ himself, our high priest, is filled with compassion. And though he thy transgressions hate, Jesus feels for thy distress. Oh, then shall ye call upon me, and I will hearken unto you. Oh, then to come as we are before him. Oh, to come according to his own promise. And know that rest and that peace of God that passeth understanding. Oh, he will give you that peace. He will give you that peace. And he says, "Ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." Amen.
Let us conclude by singing hymn 732 to the tune Indulgence 547. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. How precious are thy thoughts, which o'er my bosom roll. They swell beyond my faults and captivate my soul. How great their sum, how high they rise, can ne'er be known beneath the skies. Hymn 732.
do pardon, O Lord, all thou hast seen amiss in thy house this day. Follow with thy blessing thy own word of truth. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us. Amen.